यथंतश्चादृतावृता नमस्यन्तश्च मम भक्त्या नित्या युक्ता उपासते. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the glorification of the Lord is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guru Vainamaha. It was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra 5,000 years ago that Bhagavan Sri Krishna spoke these words to Arjuna. Satatam kirtayanto mam yathantaschadritavrita namashyantaschamam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. This is the true quality by which we can understand who is advanced in self-realization. Such a person is constantly connected to Krishna in everything one does. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, how do we know who is an advanced devotee? He said, the one who is most addicted to Krishna, the one who cannot give Krishna up for a moment, the one whose every word is about Krishna, whose every act is for Krishna, whose every thought is about Krishna. He also said, a fool remains unconcealed until he opens his mouth. You see, the nature of the tongue, Rupa Goswami explains, it has this very, very strong urge, this propensity to find faults in others, to criticize, and to speak ordinary worldly gossip. And a person's heart is very easily revealed through what he says. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that one who has no propensity to find fault in others, who criticizes no one, who sees the good in all, who sees how everyone is connected to Krishna and is constantly, always chanting God's names and chanting His glories, such a person you can understand as Krishna in his heart. and is being manifested through his sound vibration. You see, when you truly taste the sweetness of Lord Krishna's name, then all other topics, all other sound vibrations become utterly distasteful and boring. It is a fact. People in this world are very anxious to praise themselves. That is because they have not tasted the sweetness of praising Krishna. Praising yourself is a pleasure which is born of the modes of passion and ignorance. It is a pleasure which is filthy and dirty. It gives some apparent temporary pleasure to the ahankar, the false ego, but it brings tremendous pain and suffering to the soul. Understand, when you brag about your own good qualities, you are torturing your own soul. Your soul hates to hear such ignorance and illusion. Your soul is longing to hear the glories of its supreme beloved, Sri Krishna. Therefore, when one tastes the sweetness of the glorification of Krishna's name and qualities, one loses absolutely all propensity for the egoistic topics of this mundane world. Therefore, Krishna says, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas chadrita prita namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upashate. The previous verse he explains, Mahatmanastu mam parata daivim prakriti mashyata bhajantyananya manasho gyatva bhuta dimabhyayam. Krishna defines what is a Mahatma, a great soul. He is one who is constantly engaged in my loving service, and he is one who is always protected by my divine energy. And how do you know who he is? He's always chanting my glories. He's always endeavoring with great determination to please me. He's always bowing down before me. Such great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So this process of chanting the name of God is here being indicated by Sri Krishna in the Gita. It is in fact the Yuga Dharma. And that same Lord Sri Krishna appeared only 500 years back in the district of Nadia of West Bengal for the purpose of showing by his own example how to perfect one's life through this process of satatam kirtayantam mam, always chanting Krishna's glories. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that the essence and the goal of all the philosophy and knowledge of the Vedas is to cry out the name of Krishna. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrapi tani amitas maradena kala ethadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi duradaiva mitrisha vihajani nanuraka. That the Lord has many names, and in each and every one of his names, he has invested all of his power and all of his glory. Cheto darapanam marajanam bhavamaha adhavagni nirvapanam. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the chanting of the name of God in the congregation of devotees is the prime benediction for all humanity. Anandam budivaradanam pradipadam punamritashvadanam. Because it can give one the ecstatic pleasure that everyone is always seeking, the ecstatic pleasure of love of God. Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. But one must learn to chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, like a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. In this way only can you chant the name of the Lord incessantly. What else is there to live for in this world? Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamani shwari bhavatar bhakti rahoita kitvayi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that this is the prayer that we should be offering to the Lord while chanting his name, that I do not want any amount of wealth. I do not want the most beautiful women. I do not want followers, reputation, fame. I do not even want liberation or freedom from suffering. I only want to serve you by chanting your name and glories, birth after birth after birth, incessantly. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patita mam vishame bhavambaro kripaya tava pada pankajastita duli sadrisam vichintaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informs us that we should pray in such a way that somehow or other, Krishna, we have fallen to this ocean of birth and death. We are suffering the tribulations of our own false ego and our own material attachments. Please, Krishna, my aspiration in life is not like the impersonalist to become God, to become one with you, to be the mover of the sun and the moon. My aspiration, Krishna, is one that you simply pick me up and place me like a tiny dust particle at your lotus feet. Nayanam galadashrudharaya vadanam gadgara rudhaya gira pulakar nichitam vapukada thavanama grahane gavishyati. The name of Krishna is full of all of the power and all of the sweetness of Krishna. All of his beauty is manifesting in this world through his name. When will my voice choke up at the utterance of your name? When will the hairs of my body stand on end? And when will I truly take shelter of the name and taste its divine beauty? How unfortunate we are that we are chanting the name of God day after day after day after day, and sometimes it's hard to even stay awake when we are chanting. When the fullness of Goloka Vrindavan, Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtana, is revealing itself to you right then and there through the name, and we're falling asleep, and our mind is running here and there and everywhere else. Yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahenam. Krishna, O Govinda, if I forget you, this whole universe becomes nothing but a dreary void. There's nothing for me anywhere. The crazy conditioned souls are running, chasing after money, chasing after some prestigious position and power in this world, under the illusion of Maya, chasing after the mirages. But as far as I am concerned, O Govinda, bereft of your divine vision, this entire world is nothing but one big zero. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam. There's nothing here for me. It's void. You are the substance of everything that exists. You are the goal of my every action, my every word, my every thought. Without you, there is no reason to live. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he went to approach Gaurkishore Das Babaji, and Gaurkishore said, I will not give you initiation because you are very learned and I am illiterate. Bhakti Siddhanta went to the Ganges to commit suicide. Gaurkishore said, what are you doing? He said, I am going to commit suicide. Babaji Maharaj asked, why? He said, because without Krishna, this world is nothing but a meaningless zero. There's nothing here. There's not a reason to live for even one more moment without Krishna. And without the mercy of the spiritual master, no one ever has attained the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, if you are not kind upon me, I have no desire to live in this world for another moment. This is the spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. complete surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. Ashlisya vapadaratam panashtuma madarshanam maramahatam kurotiva yatatata tavidatatu lampato matprananatastu se eva napara. Krishna, if you want, you can embrace me. If you want, you can handle me roughly, you can trample upon me. You can break my heart by not being present before me. You are free to do anything you want with me. I am your servant, unconditionally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote these eight glorious verses, the Shikshastakam. But how did he truly reveal the essence and the substance of these words? Krishna reveals all the truths through his devotees. And perhaps the greatest, the most worshipable of all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was that great soul who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered to reveal by his example the supreme glory of the holy name. And that was the Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur. How wonderful it was that at the time in India 500 years ago, there was a great conflict between the Muslims and the Hindus. As you know, most of India, especially in Bengal, the Mughal rulers conquered all directions and had suppressed those who were followers of the Hindu faith. The Muslims, who were then known as the Yavanas, they considered the Hindus to be low class. They considered them to be crazy and demoniac. And the Hindus, generally, they considered the Muslims to be untouchable outcasts who had no connection to God. So this was the situation. To some extent, it's still like that, unfortunately. So Haridas Thakur was born in a family of Yavanas. And there is little known about his early life. But somehow or other, by the supreme grace of Sri Krishna, due to associating with great sadhus, from his earliest years, there was a great transformation in Haridas's life. He had an irresistible urge to chant the name of Krishna. He was constantly chanting the name of Krishna. When he was a very young man, he lived in one village. Actually, it was not in the village, but it was in the forest just outside of the village. And there, every day, he would chant the holy name of Krishna 300,000 times minimum. This was his vow. And because the transcendental nectar of the holy name was constantly emanating from his lotus-like mouth, all the qualities of God himself were manifesting through Haridas. He was benevolent, he was self-controlled, he was compassionate, he was a lover of every living being. He was exhibiting the symptoms of divine ecstasy at every moment. So gradually, people were becoming more and more popular, more and more attracted to him. At that time, there was a zamindar, which means a person who has a post in the government, and he was also a very, very wealthy landowner. He was born in a very high-class Brahmin family. His name was Ramchandra Khan. This Ramchandra Khan was thinking, what is this outcast getting so much recognition for? I'm a Brahmin by birth. Nobody's giving me such distinction. And he's a yavana, and people are coming and touching his feet. I can't tolerate this. He must be destroyed. So he used his good intelligence, and he called all the beautiful prostitutes of that neighborhood. And of them, he chose the most beautiful, the most charming, and the most expert in her field. And she vowed that within 3 days, Haridas will fall victim to sin. Ramchandra Khan said, "Bring one of my soldiers with you. When he sees Haridas committing this sinful act, he will immediately arrest him." She said, "Let me go alone first. After one night, then you bring me." So she went to the hut of Srila Haridas Thakur, who was then sitting, chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama." It was twilight. The evening had just set in. The sun was setting. It was the threshold of the night. It is at the time of the night that the propensities toward passion and ignorance become very strong within the heart. Therefore, we find devotees, generally, they take rest early at night and rise early in the morning when our virtuous qualities are strongest. And we find that most very materialistic people, they stay up late, late at night serving their sinful propensities, and they sleep very late in the morning so they don't have to deal with any of their godly propensities. But Haridas Thakur was transcendental to all of these situations. He was simply thinking of Krishna. So the prostitute came to his little kutir, and she bowed down before the tulsi plant, which he worshipped every day. And then she bowed at his lotus feet. And she looked at him and said, "Haridas, you are very young and you are very handsome. You have lotus-like eyes. Your arms are elongated down to your knees. You have a broad chest, a thin waist. I'm simply irresistibly attracted to you. And I am also the most beautiful of all young ladies. So it is certainly the will of divine providence that we enjoy union with one another on this very night." And Haridas, sitting alone with this young lady, he said, "Yes, of course, I will fulfill all of your desires. But first, I must complete the vow of my chanting of the holy name. So you just sit and wait. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama." The sun rose, and Haridas was still chanting. She looked at him. "Haridas, you have promised." He said, "Yes, I have not yet finished my vow. Come again tonight." She went back to the great so-called Brahmin, Ramchandra Khan, told him, "Tonight, have no fear, he has promised." The next night, she bowed before the tulsi. She placed her head before the feet of Haridas, and she sat, waiting. Haridas was chanting. As he was chanting, in order to try to seduce him, she began to reveal to him and expose the private parts of her body in so many charming gestural ways that it is said that even the mind of Lord Brahma and the great demigods would have been very much disturbed. Haridas sat, all the while chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As you know, for one who wants to make spiritual advancement, illicit sex is such an abomination that it destroys all one's chances of becoming Krishna conscious. And here she was, trying to degrade the soul of Haridas, this great sadhu, in such a way. Again, the sun rose and Haridas was still chanting. Ah, at that time the prostitute was becoming very discouraged. Haridas said, "You see, I have taken a vow to chant 1 crore of names this month. And tomorrow I will definitely complete my vow and all your desires will be fulfilled. This is my promise." So the next night she came back. She bowed before Tulsi, she bowed before the great Thakur, and he began to chant. And as he was chanting, after hearing the holy name constantly for two nights in a row, she began to chant along with him. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And soon, just before the end of the night, this prostitute, she, with tears in her eyes, she fell at the feet of Srila Haridas Thakur. She said, "Haridas, such a sinful woman am I, that it is, I have come to destroy your name and fame and to destroy all of your religious principles by seducing you into illicit sex. And then, by my arrangement, you were to be arrested and thrown in prison. But now I understand that you are my spiritual master, my Guru Maharaj. Please forgive me for all of my offenses and accept me as your disciple. I surrender to you forever." Haridas Thakur looked at her and smiled. He said, "Yes. In fact, this crazy fellow Ramchandra Khan, as proud as he is, I knew he was sending you for this purpose. I already had planned to leave 3 days ago. I only stayed this extra 3 days just to give you Krishna consciousness. Now, you are a prostitute. You have gained all your wealth through the abomination of illicit sex. You should give all your wealth to the Brahmins and to the Vaishnavas. You should shave your head, give away all your clothing, all your jewelry. Just with one piece of simple cloth, you come and live in my kutir. You worship Tulsi, and you chant Hare Krishna mantra. And I will go." So she did like this. And she became such a great saint that people from all around were coming to receive her darshan. Even the great rishis and sadhus would come just to see and marvel over the mercy of Haridas Thakur. And then throughout the village, everyone was glorifying the name of Haridas Thakur. And this Ramchandra Khan, due to the offense later on, he lost everything. After Haridas Thakur left that place, he went to a village of the name of Chandapur. There one of his disciples was living. His name was Balaram Acharya and Jadunandan Acharya. Balaram Acharya was so happy to have the divine association of Srila Haridas Thakur that he arranged for a simple little hut for him to live in, just outside of the village. And there Haridas would chant the holy names and discuss constantly the glories of the holy name. It was at that time that a very young child of the name of Raghunath Das, who was the son of Govardhan and Hiranyamajumadar, who were very, very wealthy accountants under the king of Bengal. It is described that their spiritual master was Yadunandan Acharya, who was also a disciple of Haridas Thakur. So oftentimes, they would bring this small child to have the darshan of Haridas Thakur. And simply by seeing the purity of Haridas, and simply by hearing his divine words, and by hearing the sound of Krishna from his lips, Raghunath Das completely gave up all attachment for material enjoyment, and his only aspiration in life was to chant the name of God and to take shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna. You see, in the association of a sadhu, there is no discrimination of who is fit or unfit to receive the mercy of Krishna coming through him. Whether one is a tiny child or an old man, either one, if their heart is a little receptive, could be filled with the mercy of Krishna. Govardhan and Hiranya were very, very religious people, and they worshipped the feet of Haridas Thakur. One time they held a meeting, and they called great, great pundits from all around to attend. And everyone was discussing the glories of the holy name. When Haridas Thakur came in, they offered him a special elevated seat. And some of the pundits were saying that by chanting the holy name, there is such power that all one's sinful reactions are destroyed. And another pundit, he said, not only that, but by chanting the holy name, one can attain liberation from all suffering forever. And when Haridas Thakur heard the pundit speaking, he spoke. He said, yes, what you are saying is true, but that is not the real greatness of the holy name. These are all insignificant achievements, which are byproducts to the real benediction of the chanting of the holy name. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, one achieves love for the lotus feet of the Lord. And he began to explain, through this love of God, which is like the shining sun, automatically by the rays of that sun, all the darkness of ignorance, which are the cause of suffering and sinful reaction, is dispelled. He explained, before the sun rises in the morning, the whole sky is illuminated. Similarly, by the mere reflection of the holy name of Krishna, mukti, liberation, is achieved. But when the actual sun appears, when Krishna reveals himself and love for him awakens in the heart, that is the true glory and benediction of chanting the holy name. So everyone was very happy, very, very happy to hear this explanation. Except there was one very, very proud intellectual amongst them. His name was Gopal Chakravarti. He became very angry because he was an impersonalist by nature, considered that mukti was the highest goal of life. And he stood up and said, what is this nonsense that this Haridas is saying? That mukti is simply a byproduct of bhakti. This is crazy. Mukti is the supreme goal of life. Even the demigods aspire for millions of births to achieve mukti, and he's saying it is simply a byproduct of bhakti? If what he is saying is not true, which it is not, I curse that his nose is cut from his face. When Hiranya and Govardhan, Balaramacharya and the others heard Haridas being blasphemed in this way, they became very angry. Gopal was very young, very handsome, and extremely learned. But because he was proud, he could not receive the benediction of understanding the glory of Haridas Thakur. This is the greatest danger of pride, is when one becomes inclined to
offend great souls, to become envious of great souls, and his spiritual life is condemned by that.
Gopal was an employee of Govardhana Hiranya. They immediately fired him from all responsibilities and told him, go away, don't ever let us see your face again, what you have said. Haridas said, no, don't, please. It is all right, no problem. Haridas was quite peaceful and happy. It is explained 3 days later, this Gopal Chakravarti, who had a beautiful face, his nose melted away, and his fingers were delicate like champak flowers. They also fell off as he contracted the disease of intense leprosy. When Haridas Thakur heard about this, he was bereaved in heart. But ultimately, he knew that it was the mercy of the Lord. Although Haridas himself forgave with his whole heart Gopal. This is the nature of a great soul. A great soul can forgive anyone for any offense. In fact, before the offense is complete, the devotee has already forgiven him. But the Supreme Lord will not forgive such offenses to his devotees without purification. You see, by contracting this disease, Gopal became very humble, and he understood the gravity of his offense, and he understood the importance of showing respect to saintly persons. Therefore, these so-called punishments are not really punishments at all, but they are gifts of God. According to the nature of our ego, the Lord has to give us something to give us a chance to crash through and become his humble servants. So then Haridas Thakur left that place, and he moved to the bank of the Ganges in a village of the name of Fulia. There Sri Advaitacharya was living. It was near Shantipur. And Haridas Thakur and Advaitacharya spent many hours, many days together, discussing the topics of Krishna and engaging in the kirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. Haridas Thakur, wherever he would go, he was so simple and so pure, but he was so empowered that people would just want to come and take shelter of his lotus feet. So at that time, there was a man of the name of Kazi. Kazi was a post. It was a post of a Muslim priest who also was like a judge, a magistrate, who worked under the governor, who was a representative of the king of the Mughal Empire at the time. So this Kazi, he saw that here is a man born in an illustrious Yavana family, and he's chanting the name of a Hindu god. This is abominable. And not only that, but he's converting all classes of men to chanting the name of Krishna. He must be stopped. Besides that, people are so much inclined toward him, nobody comes to me anymore for spiritual guidance. I'm losing my reputation. I'm losing my position and my power. He must be stopped. So with so many threats and violating the good name of Haridas, he tried to stop him, but nothing was successful. So finally, this Kazi went to the governor, and he said, you know, I am a priest of your faith. You must respect what I say. The governor said, yes, of course. This Haridas must be killed. He must be punished. He must be stopped. According to our laws, for one who was born in a Muslim family, to even associate with a Hindu is against the principles. What to speak of chanting and dancing with them? So under the influence of the Qazi, the governor sent his soldiers to arrest Haridas. When Haridas heard about this, he thought, they are arresting me, very nice. So he went right to the governor's place himself. He did not want to bother the soldiers looking for him and everything else. He was quite happy to go. And as he was entering into the governor's quarters, he was passing through the prison. And all the prisoners heard that the great saint Haridas Thakur would be coming. So they were thinking, if we can just somehow or other see him for a moment, maybe he will give us the benediction where we can come free from this prison and all bondage. So as he was walking, they were all standing along the roadside and they were all looking at him. And they had folded palms, and as they saw Haridas approaching on the horizon, their eyes were fixed at his lotus feet. And when he approached, they all prostrated and bowed down, and with their heads bowed low, they prayed, "O Haridas, we have heard your glories. You are such a great devotee of Lord Sri Krishna. You are always chanting his holy name. Please give us your benediction." So Haridas Thakur smiled and he said, "Yes, I benedict you. That the position you are in today, you remain like that. That is not what they were expecting." They became very disheartened and discouraged. And Haridas could see that. And he began to laugh. He said, "You see, you do not understand the concealed meaning of my benediction. That what is the position you are in right now? You have no attachments for anything of this world. You're not thinking enviously toward anyone. You're not thinking violently toward anyone. You're not thinking critically toward anyone. You're simply bowing your head before a sadhu, and you're simply bowing your head before God through his lotus feet. This is the supreme perfection of life. In this position, you will receive my instructions that together you should chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because in this humble spirit that you have now captured, you could chant the holy name of the Lord with a really clean and humble heart. And by the vibration of God's name, you will attain the supreme perfection of life. You want to go out of this prison, but factually, if you lose this mood that you are in now, when you go out of the prison, you will think, oh, how nice, let me enjoy. And to the degree you want to enjoy this world, to that degree you forget Krishna, and you cannot chant his name properly. Therefore, I am not giving you a benediction to remain in captivity. My benediction is that you may always remember it, remain in this humble state. And you will see within 3 days you will all be released from this prison. But never give up this humility. Know that this whole world is a prison house. And the name of Krishna is the key to release us from that prison and give us the freedom of eternal life." And they all bowed before him. And then he proceeded into the chambers of the governor. And there, the ecclesiastical leaders of the Muslim society were all together having conference with this governor what to do with Haridas. And when the governor saw Haridas, who so humbly showed respect to him, the governor understood, this is a great man. And he offered him a special seat and offered his obeisances. And the governor said to the Qazi, "What is the fault of this man?" The governor looked at Haridas and he said, "Haridas, you are born in such a high family. You're a Muslim.
Do you know that we Muslims, if we even see the face of a Hindu, we will fast and not eat that day? And you are chanting the names of the Hindus, and you're reading their scriptures, and you're dancing like them? This is abominable. Give it up. It's low class. Come to your senses and take advantage of your God-given birth. And Haridas looked at him, and he began to laugh. He said, just hear these words. There is only one Supreme Father of all living beings. He has many names. What the Vedas describe as Krishna and what the Quran describes as Allah are two wonderful manifestations of the one Supreme God. There is no difference. There is no contradiction, there is no disharmony between the Quran and the Vedas. The only conflict is in the misunderstanding of fanatics. God is one, religion is one. But God within the heart reveals himself intimately to certain people in different ways. God is one, but somehow or other, I do not know why, but God has revealed himself to me as Krishna.
So the Kaji decided that he is such a danger.
Muslims will be converted. The Brahmins of Hinduism are complaining also because they are not showing proper respect to them due to their high birth. Therefore, the Qazi said, I will settle for nothing less but than the death of this man. The governor looked toward Haridas and said, please, I don't want to harm you, but you see the pressure upon me. If you want to chant these names of Krishna, do it in private. But if you really want to do the right thing, come back to your own religion. Give up this craziness. Haridas Thakur said, you can beat me, you can cane me, you can cut my body into a million pieces, but you can never separate me from the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And what is the gift that the holy name of Krishna has given me? It has given me a heart full of love and compassion for all living beings, to see everyone equally, to not see in terms of low class, high class, Muslim, Hindu. This is all external illusory designations. The spirit of love and compassion is springing from my heart, and whoever I see, I must share with them the glories of the holy name. So he was sentenced to death. Not an easy death, but a torturous death, to be beaten with canes and whips through the 22 marketplaces of the village. So they called upon a group of very strong and stout executioners. And they gave Haridas into their hands, who immediately grabbed him and started beating him with their fists and assaulting him with horrible, blasphemous names. They dragged him into the first marketplace, threw him on the ground, and with all of their might, they started beating them with canes and whips, all the while spitting vile words upon him. And the people of the village, the good-minded people of all religions, they could not tolerate this. It was breaking their hearts. There was even attempts to stop it. But none of their attempts were successful. Haridas was being beaten brutally again and again and again, through one marketplace, through two marketplaces, through three marketplaces. And all the while,
In a pleasing voice, he was calling out the names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
After 22 marketplaces, these executioners were so fatigued, they were so tired, they were on the verge of death themselves. And they were utterly struck with wonder. They could not understand, how is this possible? They were thinking in their minds that in all of our, in the history, in all of our lives, no man has ever lived toward beyond the beating of 2, at the most 3 marketplaces. They spoke to Haridas, 22 marketplaces from sunrise to sunset, we have been beating you constantly, and you never even showed the slightest symptom of discomfort. Sometimes you were smiling and laughing, and the whole while chanting the holy names. And you were constantly looking upon us with tears in your eyes as if you were feeling sorry for us. Which is true. The whole while Haridas Thakur was being beaten, the only thought in his mind, besides the thought, the sound of Krishna's name, was he was praying to Krishna, please forgive these men for the horrible atrocities that they're committing. Please be kind upon them. They told Haridas that the Kaji, when he finds out we were not able to kill you, he will kill us. What are we to do? And Haridas Thakur replied, please, if my being alive is an inconvenience to anyone, then I will die. At that time, with the name of Krishna on his lips, in the beautiful form of Krishna's name in his heart, he dropped. There was no heartbeat, there was no breath. The executioners picked up the body of Haridas and brought him to the steps of the home of the governor, who said, all right, he is dead, so let us bury him. But the Kaji was there. He said, no, 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 do not bury him. Burial is an auspicious death for a good Muslim. He's a rascal. The offense that he has committed by taking to a lower religion, he should not have the dignified burial ceremony. If one has buried, his soul is rested in peace. Throw him in a river. Let him float forever and let his soul find no peace for all eternity. So be it. They took the body of Haridas. They were about to try to pick it up. At that time, Haridas, like so many bodies that are not alive, he kind of sat up. And he became so heavy that all of them together could not lift it. It was not Haridas that did that. It was Krishna himself who wanted to simply reveal the supernatural so-called death of Haridas Thakur. But ultimately, by the grace of Krishna, he allowed these people to throw Haridas into the Ganges. He floated for some time down the Ganges. Then he came back to external consciousness. He came out of his contemplative state of samadhi. And what did he do? He walked right back to the village of Fulia. And when the people saw him, they didn't know what to do but fall at his lotus feet. In fact, even the governor and the high priests, when they saw him, they approached Haridas and bowed down before him. And the governor prostrated and prayed, Haridas, now I know that you are truly a great saint. There are so many so-called saints walking around, in this religion, that religion. They speak so many words, but they do not exhibit any of the true qualities. But in all my life, you are the first I have seen who has exhibited one who is divinely inspired by God himself, the one almighty Lord of all religions.
see, Haridas converted the Muslim to an interfaith idea of spirituality. And then all the priests, they all surrendered to the feet of Haridas Thakur, and they all accepted him in his true glory. Haridas Thakur left that place, and he came to another area of Bengal where he decided to live in a cave. While he was living in a cave, many, many people would come to have his darshan and to hear his words. But there was something very intolerable. Whenever they would come into his cave, they would get an excruciating burning sensation all over their bodies. It would burn their eyes, their skin. It would have a horrible, distasteful experience in their mouth. And they didn't know what it was. Simultaneously, it was unbearable to go in that cave, and at the same time, they couldn't resist from coming to hear the glories of the Lord from such a great sadhu as Haridas Thakur. But there was one person who was a mystic, who knew the art of curing the poison of snake bites. And he explained that what it is there is a very, very huge, enormous, venomous serpent living somewhere in that cave of Haridas. And his venom is so strong that in that confined area of the cave, the whole atmosphere is being permeated by that poison, and that is what is causing such discomfort. So they went to Haridas, and they said, Haridas, please, why don't you move to another cave? Because there's a snake here, very dangerous, and it's causing everyone great disturbance. And Haridas Thakur said, I don't notice any disturbance. I don't feel any burning. I never saw any snake. But if it is causing you inconvenience, then I will leave. Right when he said that, out from a hole, a dark hole in the cave, came out this large, large serpent who had spots of yellow and red and blue. It was very dark and black in all other places. When the people saw this snake, they were struck with wonder. They had never seen any serpent like this. And the serpent simply went out of the cave. And immediately after he left, all the burning sensations, all the discomfort left. The power of Haridas Thakur and his humility, that simply by saying he would leave on behalf because of this serpent, the serpent, the Lord within the heart of this serpent caused him to leave. On another occasion, there was a mystic in a village, and this mystic was also a very famous in the art of reversing the poison of snakes. He was also a snake charmer himself, and he was performing a snake dance. And it is described that when he was performing this snake dance, Naga, the king of the snakes, who's a great devotee of Krishna, actually incarnated within this person. And he was dancing very beautifully. And as he was dancing, he was singing the beautiful song of Krishna dancing on the hood of Kaliya. And when Haridas Thakur heard this beautiful pastime from his mouth, from the mouth of Naga himself, Haridas swooned into ecstasy and began to dance himself, and a large crowd of people were already there. And as he was dancing, this snake charmer, he stood beside and just stopped all dancing himself, and with folded hands was just watching Haridas with great, great pleasure. And as Haridas was dancing, he was singing the beautiful glories of Krishna and Kaliya, dancing on his hoods, And Haridas was crying tears of love. Sometimes he would roll in the ground and start roaring. His hair would stand on end. Tears were flowing from his eyes. And everyone was struck with wonder. And there was one Brahmin who was watching. This Brahmin was very proud. He was thinking, look, how much recognition and fame Haridas is getting by doing this ecstatic dancing. So when Haridas stopped dancing, Naga, the snake charmer, started dancing again. And then the Brahmin, he started dancing and rolling on the ground. And when this snake charmer saw him, he picked up his cane and started severely beating this Brahmin. Beating him and beating him and beating him, and the people were shocked. What's he doing, this poor man? He's just dancing. And finally, he was getting beaten so much, the Brahmin just got up and ran for his life. And then everyone asked, why have you done this? When you were dancing, and Haridas interrupted your whole performance and started dancing, and with tears of love in your eyes, you were just watching and enjoying it and let him go on as long as you wanted. And when this Brahmin started dancing, why are you beating him like this? It doesn't make sense. He said, because Haridas, he has no false ego, he has no pride. He has a pure heart. When he was hearing the glories of Krishna, spontaneously he started dancing out of ecstatic love, simply to reveal the glories of the Lord to the world. This Haridas Thakur, he is the foremost great of all saints. He knows nothing but compassion and love toward all other living beings. He is constantly chanting the name of Krishna as an expression of pure devotion. Lord Vishnu himself is revealing his supreme mercy through Haridas Thakur to this world. And not only that, how wonderful is the Lord. That the Lord put him in the birth of an outcast family just to show that devotion to Krishna is so powerful. It has nothing to do with any material qualifications or disqualifications. The snake charmer said, this land of India is so much contaminated and perverted by this ridiculous concept of caste by birth. Therefore, the Lord sent the greatest of all spiritualists, the greatest of all Vedantas and Bhaktas, to be born in an untouchable meat-eater family, just to show that devotion to Krishna is the only qualification to be considered. And this Brahmin, who by birth is very high, but who is filled with pride and no devotion, as knowledgeable as he is, because he simply wanted recognition by his dancing and chanting. He was a cheap pretender, and such cheap pretenders ruin the name of Krishna in the eyes of others. Therefore, I beat him. And then that snake charmer said, Naga was speaking through him, that anyone who even sees Haridas Thakur, what to speak of touching his body, will be purified. Mother Ganges is simply praying and hoping with great expectation that Haridas will bathe in her to purify her. And all the great saints and rishis, they are simply anxious to touch his lotus feet. Not simply physically touching, but to hear his divine words and to bathe in his mercy. Even the demigods themselves, they are anxious for a moment's glimpse of the darshan of Haridas Thakur. And he said, anyone who submissively hears the glories of Haridas Thakur and hears the sound of the name for one who is following the footsteps of Haridas Thakur will be forever liberated from all illusion and all false ego, and will find the sweetness of Krishna's love as the eternal, all-pervading love of their life. Later on, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine glory as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the house of Srivas Thakur, a wonderful pastime took place. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who always took the position of a humble devotee to the people in general, called upon his most intimate associates one night, the night of the Mahaprakash, and there he sat on the throne of Vishnu. And he called each of his devotees individually to reveal to them his supreme form of Godhead, to fulfill all their desires and to offer them benedictions. To Haridas Thakur he revealed his divine form of Lord Sri Krishna with two arms playing upon his flute. And he offered Haridas any benediction, but Haridas wanted nothing but to be the servant of the servant of his servants. And then Lord Chaitanya irresistibly had to glorify his devotee to all others. The Lord finds more sweetness when he hears his devotee glorified than when he is personally glorified himself. So, as if he had five mouths, he began to glorify Srila Haridas Thakur. And he began to explain how Haridas was being beaten in these 22 marketplaces by these brutal executioners. And he said, at the time when Haridas was being beaten, I was so outraged as the Lord of Vaikuntha that I sent my Sudarshan Chakra to sever the heads of all these demons and rascals who dare offend my devotee. So when my Sudarshan Chakra came to the scene of the crime, within the heart of Haridas, where I am residing, I heard him praying, my dear Lord, please, please forgive these people. Please be kind and merciful to these people who are causing such harm to me. That is my only prayer. I knew if I would have killed them, that would have caused Haridas immense pain. So just to spare him from this pain, I was helpless to inflict any harm upon these men. This is the love of my devotee toward all living beings. This is the power of forgiveness and compassion for one whose heart is always filled with the name of Krishna. But one thing I did, I took my own body and covered Haridas's body with that so that I would experience the severity of the pain of his beatings. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right before everyone, he removed his cloak. And all over Mahaprabhu's body were brutal marks of whips and canes. Kaunteya pratijanehi nave bhakta pranashyati. Mahaprabhu told all devotees that one who always takes shelter of my holy name, I am always the protector. I am always the well-wisher of that most intimate of all my servants. And then he explained that Haridas Thakur, he is the Nama Acharya. He is teaching the most intimate expression of my own heart to all the world, how all classes of men and women can achieve the supreme perfection of love of God and reveal the supreme qualities of a lover of God. By sincere